¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz with you virtually today. Parker Kelly back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Max, how's it going? You are over on the East Coast. I'm in Birmingham, but we're making it work on this Friday morning.
Yeah, I mean, we got it easy, Jake, to be honest with you. Everybody
For
else.
Sure.
Stuck, still without power. All our producers back in Nashville working hard this week to get to the station. We appreciate them. So thinking of everybody doesn't really feel right that we're away. It feels like we should be back helping everybody. But been thinking of everybody at home. Not really sure what the right thing to say about it is, but that's how we're feeling.
No, 100%. It's been strange being on the road for the last week. I'm sure it feels the same way for you, Max, but again, thinking of everybody back there and hoping everybody's staying safe and warm as the effects of the storm continue. Max, you have been out on the East Coast this week, a trip to Boston on Tuesday, and last night in New Jersey, both games ending 3-2 in overtime. So the Preds able to pick up a point in both games, but unable to get two. And now that's 5 out of 6 that the Preds have lost. It's been a little bit of a tough stretch here. Not that it was always going to continue to be what it was for about a month there, but Preds have done a nice job of at least being able to get a point in these last two games, but you can start to see the playoff spot slipping away.
Yeah, 5 points out now, and it's certainly still within reach, but this was a defining week for the team, and that's how the team was framing it coming in. And last week was the first time that they hadn't won 2 out of 3 in a week in 7 weeks, which is crazy to think about. And now this week, if they get a win on Saturday, they can have a 500 points percentage for the week with a 1-0-2 record, but they've lost both these games so far, and it's tough places to play. It's teams that are hungry and teams that are either pushing for playoff spots in the Devils' case, or teams in the Islanders and the Bruins that are trying to improve their playoff standing and make sure that they get in. So it's three tough places to play, teams that all provide their own unique challenges. And it's interesting, the first game, the Preds never led and they lost 3-2 in overtime. Then last night, they never trailed and lost 3-2 in overtime. So certainly winnable games. And the Preds had won 4 in a row in 3-on-3 overtime before this week. And now they've lost 2 in a row, and they've both been quick losses too.
Right. I was about to say, kind of different ways that it happened, even though the score ended up the same. But in overtime, both goals end up coming in the opening minute. And it is tough in 3-on-3 overtime. Like that's why they moved it to 3-on-3, was because they wanted those games to end faster. But when you lose that opening faceoff, it becomes tough to get the puck back, and there are going to be some pretty significant scoring chances like we saw for Boston and New Jersey.
Yeah, they never touched it against the Bruins on Tuesday night. And
right.
The Bruins had Mark Kastelic, their fourth line center, out for the overtime faceoff. He beat Ryan O'Reilly on the draw, and then he goes right off. They bring Murat Husnadinov on, and the Preds were ready for something. They had two defensemen on the ice for OT like they did for McDavid and Draisaitl a few weeks ago, and against the Oilers it worked. Against the Bruins it didn't. They went with the weave, and Pasternak ended up just tapping it in right behind Juuse Saros. So that was an unsuccessful mission. Last night, Ryan O'Reilly did win the opening faceoff, and Philip Forsberg got a shot, missed the net, and the Preds never got the puck back from there.
Yep, and again, giving up the two goals within a minute in both games. Get the point, which is important on the road, getting a point in Boston in New Jersey. But again, like you mentioned, Preds now 5 points out of playoff positioning. You talk about UC Soros there. I don't blame UC Soros for the loss in Boston, which and then last night was Justi Sonnenen. But a little bit of a tough week for UC Soros last week at home. We had talked about the Buffalo game. He gets pulled, and then Utah gives up 5 point or 5 goals on Saturday. What have you seen from UC Soros, who was a big reason why the Preds were winning so much throughout the month of December and January?
Yeah, I don't think it's been a dip for him. I think it's been a dip in the team's play in front of him. That Saturday game against Utah was really disappointing. And I don't know if it was the fact that it was a half house and not a great home environment because of the snow that let the team down. Like, that shouldn't be an excuse. But then they didn't come to play in what was the biggest game of the year. So that was probably the most disappointing result of these last couple weeks. And that was one that they really needed to swing in a different direction, and they didn't get it, and they didn't have a push late when they were down multiple goals, and they didn't show the fight that they've shown the last couple months, and that left me and everybody pretty disappointed.
And it's it looked like the Preds were pushing and they were going to get themselves right back into the playoff race, but the last couple of weeks has have put them a little bit behind the eight ball here, as we mentioned, 5 points behind. Trying to think of who is in that last spot. Anaheim is in that last wild card spot right now, so the Predators have some work to do. We'll look ahead at this upcoming week, but does it feel in general like this week is really important? You've got now 4 games remaining until the Olympic break. And I know Barry Trotz said when he was on DVD the other day that these games aren't going to play a huge role in what he does at the trade deadline, but it would feel important to make one final statement heading into the Olympic break over this next week.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And look, the other thing looming that Barry Trotz is really thinking about is the trade deadline is really just a week after the Olympics. So you've got now 4 games remaining before the Olympics: Saturday, which is tomorrow, Monday, next Wednesday, and next Thursday. Then you have 3 full weeks without a game. Then coming out of the Olympics, you have just 5 games before the trade deadline. So I mean, it's at the point where buy sell decisions are being made by the general managers, and I think no matter how close the Preds are, I think what you heard from Barry Trotz in that interview you referenced, I think his mind may be made up that he's at least gonna sell something, without a lot of games left to flip that before the deadline hits.
Yes, and we will get into that a little bit more throughout the show of what the Predators could be thinking. Are they, even if they are sellers, how much of a seller are you? And we'll talk about that more. But again, Boston, New Jersey trips, you get the point. But right now, it feels like the Preds need 2 points in a big way coming up tomorrow against New York. And again, that is a 6 o'clock puck drop out there on Long Island against the Islanders. Max, before we move on, just looking back at last night's game, you mentioned the Preds never trail, but they do give up that goal with about 10 minutes left to play. What stood out specifically in that game? Philip Forsberg scores his 20th goal of the game, excuse me, 20th goal of the season. But overall, just could not quite make enough plays down the stretch to get that win.
Yeah, I'm curious what the players would have to say about that effort because I think they did do enough to win and they played a pretty good road game. But it ended up kind of being an uneventful game. Justi Sonnenen made a lot of big saves early on, and then the Preds played with the lead for a lot of it, but they ended up letting the Devils tie it up, which I think would be the part of the game they're most disappointed in. And then in overtime, like a great player walks in, makes a perfect shot. But the Preds didn't really step to him as much as they could have guarded Nico Hischier. And it was Roman Josi, who's about to be teammates with him in a couple weeks in the Team Switzerland for the Olympics, who was the closest to him. So I think that was an overtime play. The Preds could have defended differently. I don't know how much you can gripe about overtime results. Like, that's not really a thing that teams practice very much. And You had the puck. You had to look for Forsberg. So it's almost like overtime is now just like a shootout where it's one chance and you really got to pick your perfect spot. And then the other team's going to get one. And the Preds didn't score on their chance. And then the Devils scored on theirs. So I think the thing really that puts a stain on the loss is that Jack Hughes got hurt in the first period for the Devils and never came back. And they wish they could have taken advantage of a team missing their number one center. But it was two desperate teams. I think the Preds were probably the better team in regulation, and the Devils get the win in overtime, and that's how it goes sometimes in 3-on-3.
Yep, that's just how it works in overtime hockey. The Preds fall in overtime for the second straight game. Now lost 5 out of 6. They'll look to bounce back tomorrow against the New York Islanders to wrap up this three-game road trip. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. On the other side, the Preds did make a transaction yesterday. Fedor Svechkov was sent down. We'll talk about him, some of the other young guys who haven't quite taken the next step this year for the Predators, as Svechkov has now been sent down to Milwaukee. 615-737-1025. Max Herr is in with us for the full first hour of the show. Connor Newt will join us coming up at 10. Keep it right here. More coming up. Talking Preds here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. 94.9 The Fan is your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Today, the number 5 Commodores take on number 17 Ole Miss at 2 p.m. And pregame begins at 1:45 right here from beautiful Birmingham, Alabama. So I will be hopping off a little bit early from the show today. Connor Newt's going to come in, but I will be with you up until 11 o'clock. But we do have Max Herz with us, and Max, there he is. Max just hopped back in. We've got Max Herz with us for the full first hour talking Preds here. And Max, some news yesterday. Fedor Svechkov, 22-year-old center, has been sent down to Milwaukee after 49 games with the Predators. He had just 9 points this season. In your opinion, from what you've seen, why do you think Fedor Svechkov wasn't able to take that next step forward this year? Because I know there was a lot of hope that he would be a big piece of this team, especially offensively this season.
Yeah, it's interesting. And getting to know Svechkov, I think, first of all, the thing that stands out to me is that he understood where he was at, and he understood that he wasn't producing enough offensively. But I also think he didn't let it get him down too much. And like the fact that sophomore slumps are so common did register with him. And I think he didn't let it tank the other areas of his game, whereas other young players might have let that happen. Like I think he was still pretty defensively responsible. I think he was okay on faceoffs this year. And I think he wasn't terrible in the offensive zone, despite the fact that he wasn't producing. And there were games where he saw it. But it got to the point where the Predators' veteran players were playing so well, and Svechkov was certainly no longer part of the top six, and as of this week, no longer part of the top nine, or even going to be a part of the lineup for these last few games, where the Preds figured, hey, he can go down without waivers. We want him to go down to the AHL. And the way Andrew Brunette phrased it was, we want him to play big minutes. We want him to touch the puck a ton. We want him to be the top line center for the Admirals. And in their game tonight in Des Moines, Iowa, presumably he will be their number one center. They want him to play top power play. They want him to play PK. And he hadn't really been playing either special teams for the Preds the last month and a half. So I think it's a fair move for everybody. It's something that they had tried to stay away from as long as they could. And it had to happen at this point. So, it's not a happy moment for either side, for sure. But Svechkov understands that he'll be back. I think he'll take this all in stride. Everybody in Milwaukee obviously loves him, and they want him to get back to the NHL.
And he is just 22. I think you can look at this and say, man, that we had high hopes that he was going to be, like you said, a top six forward for this team. And yeah, it wasn't as good as you thought it would be, but again, he has so much room to develop. I think you hope that, like you said, he takes it in stride, and maybe heading into next year, he can take that big next step. But obviously disappointing for the Predators right now. When you look at some of the other young guys that maybe could get opportunities, we're going to talk a little bit about the trade deadline coming up, but as you get later in the season, you would expect some more young guys to get opportunities. We haven't seen much of Zach LaRue. I know he got hurt early on. Some other young guys down there at Milwaukee. Do you see anybody that maybe has earned themselves a chance at the NHL level that hasn't really gotten it this season so far?
Yeah, I think LaRue will almost definitely be up if the Predators make sell moves at the deadline. And I mean, you can think about who the players are who are similar to the guys on expiring contracts that might be right. traded away. I think LaRue fits Bunting's profile very well. And I think Bunting is a very valuable player that if playoff teams start lining up and want him as a rental, I think the Preds could get a very good return for Michael Bunting. And I think Bunting is a great fit with the Preds. And I think he would be someone that in my eyes, they should approach again in the offseason about potentially returning. But LaRue fits that same pest middle six left wing role. He's been playing really well in Milwaukee these last few weeks. He scored the game winning overtime goal in their outdoor game in -8 degree temperatures. Like that's the headline moment, but he's been performing really well. And he was someone who was really close to making the team out of camp and is hungry to get his chance. And I think could make a good mark over the last few months of the season here. The other player who Barry Trotz mentioned this week was defenseman Ryan Ufko, who played one NHL game at the end of last year, his NHL debut. He has been the number one D for Milwaukee all year on a team with guys with a lot of NHL experience and also guys like Tanner Molendijk who have higher prospect status than Ufko does. So it's been a really good year for Ufko, and Barry Trotz said they had thought about bringing him up this week. They went with Andreas Englund instead since Nick Hague is the one who's out, and Englund is the player who matches Hague's profile, big left-handed defenseman with a physical presence. It'll be interesting to see what the Preds do on the back end at the deadline. Like the Rangers just traded Carson Soucy to the Islanders for a third-round pick this week. Is Nick Blankenberg more valuable than Carson Soucy as a right-handed right. defenseman? They're very different players, but I think if you need an offensive right-handed defenseman, I think Blankenberg is a player that teams would want at the deadline who's a free agent this summer. So, I mean, if Blankenberg gets traded to me, that's a no-brainer that Ufko comes up to replace him. The deadline will play itself out, but I think those are the guys who match up most closely with the players that the Preds would be trading away. And if Holla gets traded, does Svechkov come right back up to play center? Yeah. Or would they rather play it safe and go with Jake Lucchini for the rest of the year as a more veteran guy and let Svechkov develop in the AHL? So all these decisions are contingent on earlier decisions that get made with the front office and the trades and the moves and all of that. But I think the young guys will get their looks here if the Predators are sellers in a few weeks.
Right. All the dominoes have to fall, and then the corresponding moves are going to tell us which young players are going to get their opportunities at the NHL level. Sticking on the young guys for now, we've had a lot of conversations about Matthew Wood this season. Obviously got off to such a great start this year, but he has just 1 point since December 11th, not getting a ton of ice time. What do you see from Matthew Wood? Is this a guy who at 20 years old, maybe just hitting a little bit of that rookie wall, or have you seen any concerns in his game over the last month or so?
Yeah, he's definitely not producing. He's still getting chances, I think. And I think it's kind of like what I said about Svechkov, where his offensive game is in an acceptable spot, despite the fact that he isn't generating anything. And defensively, I think he's still doing his job. And look, if he weren't, he wouldn't be in the lineup. And
right.
Like Svechkov, he can go down to Milwaukee without waivers, and they've chosen to keep Wood up here, I would assume at least until the Olympic break. And then I don't know what they're thinking about him in terms of whether Milwaukee would be a possibility. But yeah, he hasn't scored a goal in 22 games, and he has one assist in those 22 games. There are also three games in there when he was healthy scratch. So it's 25 team games in total since his last goal on December 6th. And obviously it's frustrating for Wood, who's been a big goal scorer throughout all of his teenage years at all the amateur levels. In college, he was a big point producer at both UConn and Minnesota. So it's definitely frustrating for Wood. And I think like Svechkov, he's maturely handled it. He turns 21 in a week and a half. So like, he's such a young guy.
Right.
But wouldn't it be good to see Wood get back to his production down the stretch this year? Like when he first got to 8 goals, he was in the top 5 in rookie goal scoring.
And now he's still at 8 goals almost 2 full months later. So to see him get back there would be something really exceptional for the Preds' future. I think he'll get a shot in the middle six down the stretch if he's in the NHL late in the season. And I think the Olympic break will do good for him, too, to have some time off.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you wonder if it's just, you know, if it can be a mental thing at this point where he has gone, like you said, 22 games without a goal. Just we talk about it in basketball all the time of just need to see one go down. Like maybe he just needs to get one in the net and that can open the floodgates a little bit for him after what was an unbelievable first couple of weeks to his season when he first got healthy.
Yeah, and like last night, he was on a new line, and it was the fourth line. So they McCarron and Smith have moved up to the third line. They've always played bigger minutes than fourth line, but with Marchessault, they are really the third line in every way. So the fourth line last night was Svechkov going down to the AHL, Tyson Jost at center with Wood on left wing and Ozzie Weisblatt on right wing. That line played a lot, and I thought they played meaningful, impactful, and positive shifts, and they had the puck in the offensive zone quite a bit. So I don't think it's that Wood has been so far away from a goal. I think he's been robbed a couple times.
Right.
I think he's been a setup man a couple times, and he hasn't always been with the finishers. So it's a tough spot for him. I think he understands where he's at. You got to remember, he's a coach's son. He's someone who thinks the game so clearly and so well. I'm not too worried about him mentally or play-wise because, look, I mean – they got to have somebody in there, you know, like
right.
they can't send every single young guy down to fix their game at the same time. So it's a matter of who's here, whether they're producing or not, and who's going to give you a shot at secondary scoring, even if it's just one goal a week or one goal every five games.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any questions for Max Herz, he's with us until the top of the hour. Talking Preds, Predators, back-to-back overtime losses, getting points in Boston and New Jersey. They'll finish up the road trip tomorrow night on Long Island, not in Long Island, on Long Island, taking on the New York Islanders. Again, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. When we come back, Barry Trotz did have some comments on DVD this week about the trade deadline and specifically about Ryan O'Reilly. And I want to talk about the factor coming up next. Max Herz with us for the full first hour of the show. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Max Herz, Parker Kelly with you. Max with us for the full first hour talking Preds. Preds wrapping up their three-game road trip on the East Coast, taking on the Islanders tomorrow night. Max, the trade deadline is coming up quick, and I know it's still well over a month away, but with the Olympic break and the 3 weeks off that come with it, there aren't a whole lot of data points that you're going to see before the trade deadline comes. And Barry Trotz, we talked about it earlier on, he was on DVD and was asked about basically, is this next stretch before the Olympic break going to make much of an impact on your mindset at the deadline? He basically said no. So it may not be a question of whether the Predators are sellers. It's just how much do they sell when the deadline rolls around?
Yeah, I think you've got the correct read there. And the trade deadline is Friday afternoon, March 6th, which is a full month away, but the Preds don't play between February 5th and 26th. For the Olympics. So, I mean, there are only 9 more games between now and the trade deadline, even though it's a full month. And those games come in 2 pretty busy weeks, one before the Olympic break in this next week and the first week out of the Olympic break, February 26th through March 5th, when the Preds will have 2 road games and 3 home games in 8 days coming right back from the Olympics. So, no, I read the same thing into what Barry Trotz said as you did, and I think it is the reasonable and fair thing for him to be drawing from this team season. And look, kudos for the team for making it a tough decision. If nothing
right.
else, I'm so impressed with the way the players have improved from last year to this year, and no matter what it leads to, I think it's been a pleasant surprise externally for the players to do what they knew they were capable of. I think the coaches, the players have all held up their end of the bargain and shown Barry Trotz, hey, the team that you brought together here that was such a dud last year, was nowhere near as bad as what last year's results showed. So I think that makes everybody feel a little better, if nothing else, even if they do become sellers.
Right. I think that's a really good point, is that after last year, and then you have that stretch where you lose 11 out of 13 through November and into December, and it would have been easy, I think, for a lot of teams to just fold in that moment and say, well, last year was such a dud, we're on the same track, but they really responded well. And you're right, they made it a tough decision on Barry Trotz. But when you look at the future of this team, what's going to help the Predators get back to being a Stanley Cup contender more? Is it fighting and trying to get that second wild card spot, or getting some extra picks, some extra prospects that can help get this team more talent to move forward around the core that they currently have?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that is pretty easy, that the future in a right. situation where it could really be a seller's market at the deadline, the future is definitely what you need to consider first and foremost. And look, also, if you don't make the playoffs, your own draft pick is going to be a pretty good player here too. This seems like a really deep, definitely top five, maybe even top 10 in the draft this year, coming out of the World Juniors. Like, there are some draft eligible guys who are big names and could be in the NHL next season, potentially 5 to 7 of them.
Yeah, and it is funny. You look at the Preds and you can say they're only 5 points out of a playoff spot right now, but because of the East and how deep it is, the Rangers are the only team in the East with less points than the Predators. So the Preds would, I guess, have the 7th best odds at the number one pick as it stands right now. So you are right that the Predators probably going to have a high draft pick again, especially if they are sellers. Max, the one big name that gets brought up when you talk about possible trade deadline moves is Ryan O'Reilly. And there's been opportunities, I'm sure, for Barry Trotz to trade Ryan O'Reilly in the past. And I think it would still, like he always says, it needs to be an offer that knocks his socks off. But I do think if it is a seller's market, that maybe there is an offer for Ryan O'Reilly that might just be too good to turn down.
I think it needs to be an incomprehensibly massive return to trade him. And I think there are 20 teams that want him, first of all, especially because he has another full season remaining on his contract.
Yep.
I start the bidding at 2 firsts, a big name prospect, and a young center who's someone who you can plug in for the rest of the year and potentially use in the future as well. Like, this is a player whose value is 99 out of 100 video game rating style in every single category. The tangibles, the intangibles. He leads your team in points and assists. He's a point per game. He's your top line center. He's your power play center. He's your PK guy. He's your face-off guy. He is your leader. Like, he is everything intangibly that you could ever want. He's probably your best defensive forward and potentially the best defensive forward in the NHL. He's a guy who wins you possessions. He wins you pucks. He wins you goals. He keeps goals out of the net. He defends the other team's top line. Like, I could go all day about how valuable Ryan O'Reilly is. And first of all, it's so incredible that he's on the Preds, because where would they be without him this year?
Yeah.
And if you are going to trade a player like that away, I think it needs to be a trade that changes your outlook.
No, 100%. I mean, especially with another year under on his contract, that it's not like the Predators are all that far off from being a playoff team. And, you know, a couple right moves here and there, a couple of young players develop, and you could have Ryan O'Reilly as a huge piece of a team that's contending to get back into the dance next year. So I think you do have to get an offer that you can't refuse for Ryan O'Reilly, because he's just as valuable to you as he would be somewhere else. It probably has to be some team that feels like he is the missing piece that makes them a Stanley Cup contender this year and is willing to mortgage the future to get Ryan O'Reilly in their building.
I think there are 15 teams that you could make the argument that he's their missing piece, right?
Yeah.
Like, it to me, it should be a bidding war if Ryan O'Reilly is available. And seeing the NHLers who draw overpays at the deadline, like Brandon Carlo going from the Bruins to the Leafs last year for a first round pick, and Fraser Minton, who's a young center who's having an awesome season for the Bees right now, and they got a first round pick along with it. Like it's trades like that that players who are solid, like, but they're not number one guys. Like, to me, Carlo is not a true cup champion number one defenseman. He's a top pair guy. He's a shutdown guy. But to me, he's not that winning pedigree in every way like Ryan O'Reilly is. Like, just seeing these other trades, I don't know. I think I've made myself clear. Like, this is a player who should return everything you want if you trade him.
It is funny looking at the NHL trade deadline compared to, and I think the closest you could compare it to is the MLB trade deadline, because it's usually prospects for players. And in baseball, there are so many GMs that hoard their prospects and are so scared to trade away these future guys. In the NHL, it feels like there's no fear at all. It's like, all right, this guy's going to help us get into Stanley Cup contention this year. Give him whatever it takes. And that might play in the Preds' favor if they become big sellers at the deadline this year.
I mean, it's like, we know it. Marty Erat for Philip Forsberg.
Right.
Like, a rental trade for a player who has been on your team for years, who you know what you're getting, and is one of the better Preds forwards of all time. But, like, you get a player who was drafted less than a year ago in the first round, who you wanted and you didn't pick until after he went. You scouted this guy like crazy. Your Swedish and European scouts are saying this guy is going to be a star, and you're able to get him for a player that you knew you were going to trade away that year at that time with that contract, with your situation in the standings. And he's the leading goal scorer in franchise history in a lifetime Fred.
It's true. I mean, that is how the NHL works. Is guy, these GMs, they realize that if you get in there and you find a couple of missing pieces, you can make a run and go win a Stanley Cup. And if you do it, no one's going to remember the prospects you gave up to go get it done. So the Preds maybe could have that playing in their advantage if they end up being big sellers at the deadline. Still over a month until the trade deadline, but the Olympic break coming up in a week. The Predators playing four games in the next 6 days heading into the Olympic break. We will preview the week and talk about what the Preds can get done coming back home for two after this game against the New York Islanders tomorrow night, and then wrapping up before the Olympic break in Washington. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Max Hurst, Parker Kelly with you. Final segment with Max here on this Friday. Always great to talk Preds with Max Hurst. And it is a busy week coming up for the Nashville Predators leading into the Olympic break at the New York Islanders tomorrow on Long Island. That is a 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame right here on 102.5 The Game. And then three games in 4 days to take you into the Olympic break. Two at home in Smashville against the Blues and the Wild, and then at Washington next Thursday to send us into that 3 week Olympic break. This is an important week, Max. We talked about it. This is, you've got four games in 6 days. You're currently slipping out of playoff position. If this team wants to inch their way back in, feels like you've got to come through with some big wins over these next 6 days.
Yeah, and three of the four games are against teams that are in playoff spots right now. The right. Islanders have been really good recently. They're third in the Metropolitan Division. Matthew Schaefer's leading the way. Like, he's got it going right now. The rookie number one pick defenseman. He's been fun to watch for the Islanders. He's letting his personality come out. He's leading the way. Matt Barzal and Bo Horvat have been good. Like, they're getting production. They don't have Brock Nelson anymore. Kyle Palmieri's out for the year. Like, it's kind of a younger, more fun Islanders team, less of the grizzled Islanders Lou Lamoriello squad that you came to know and love for such a long time. And I don't know if anybody really loved them, but it was always like, hey, these guys look like they just came out of a freaking war every time they play. So if nothing else, that was endearing. But now they're a different type of endearing. So the Preds just saw them a couple weeks ago at home, and they'll match up against them on the island tomorrow. Islanders feel great. They just swept the Rangers in a home and home. They swept the season series. And Matthew Schaefer said something when he got drafted or at rookie camp about how he never wants to lose to the Rangers his entire career. And he's 4-0 so far. So good for him.
Yeah. And that Islanders game in Nashville, 3 weeks ago, was a really fun one. that ended in a shootout. I remember getting home from Vandy to watch that game. UC Saros standing on his head, making a couple of huge saves. So we can only hope that we get one just as entertaining tomorrow night.
Yeah, Saturday on Long Island, I think, should yield a fun crowd. They're going pretty crazy for their team out here right now. So
yep.
They have great fans when the team brings it here. So looking forward to that one. And then next week, the Blues is definitely a must win on Monday. That's a team below you. That's a team missing a lot of their firepower right now with injuries. So regardless of even if some of those guys, Kyrou and Thomas, are back in for that game, you need to take care of that one. Then the Wild will come in. They are one of the best teams in the league, and it'll be the first time we see Quinn Hughes in Minnesota Green in Nashville. And then next Thursday, you finish it up on a back-to-back in D.C. against the Capitals. So that's a tough assignment. Last game against the break, back end of a back-to-back with travel. The Caps will not be on a back-to-back for that game. Yep. So that's going to be a really tough one to win going into the break. But what a win that would be to go into the break with.
And just logistically, I wonder, would all of the Olympians for the Preds just go straight across the Atlantic from there? I guess it would make sense, right? Or are they coming back to Nashville after that game against Washington?
I would guess that they are going straight from D.C., but I don't know that for
gotcha.
Certain. The players
just curiosity.
Also, yeah, the players also bringing their families with them, so I don't know if that makes it easier or harder.
Right.
But like the opening ceremony is a week from today. So the Preds players and
oh, wow.
athletic trainer Kevin Morley will not be there for the opening ceremony. There are a few NHLers who will be flying all day Thursday to get there for the opening ceremony on Friday. Like Leon Draisaitl is Germany's male flag bearer, and the Oilers play Wednesday
oh, wow.
night in Edmonton. So he is somehow getting from Edmonton to Milan, Italy in one full day of like American daytime, and with the European time, this is even tougher. So I don't know how he's going to get there in time. I don't think it's a sure thing, because he'll have to take at least two commercial flights, right? Like at least Edmonton to Toronto to Milan. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, the women's tournament begins before the opening ceremony, women's hockey. So
wow.
the women's hockey prelims basically will be done by the time the men's hockey prelims get going.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking at the schedule right now. So it's going to be busy over there. The women's prelims start on Thursday next week. And then the men, the first game, if I keep scrolling, first game is Wednesday, February 11th. So a little under 2 weeks away. And Finland will actually start off the men's prelim round in Group B. So we'll get to see a couple of Preds in that one.
Yeah, Finland versus Slovakia is their first game.
Yes,
right?
And then followed up by Sweden and Italy.
Yeah.
So we will get plenty of Preds on day one of Olympic hockey.
Nice. Yeah, that's one of the groups. And then Friday, February 13th is probably the biggest game of the men's prelims from a Preds and non-Preds perspective. Finland versus Sweden on Friday, February 13th. And the majority of these games will be in the late morning Nashville time also, and they are all on the USA Network, which is a channel that has people might watch for soap operas or things like that. Or,
yeah, it's
or
like a
hospital dramas.
When True TV turns off the Impractical Jokers reruns for the March Madness every single year, that's basically what it is.
Yeah, so yeah, there's no more NBC Sports Network, so that is now NBC's
right.
Sports Network. But yeah, I think every U.S. game will be on that channel. Some of the European games might be streaming only and you need a Peacock subscription for them. But
right.
We'll talk through that more next week, because honestly, I haven't even diagnosed the full schedule. I haven't made my watching game plan yet. But next week,
right.
Once the last Preds game is in the books, we can literally just sit and read the Olympic schedule, because that would honestly be helpful for me, Jake, because I have to make my plan too.
Yeah, you know what? Next week when Max is on, we will spend a full segment of just like our watch guide for the Olympics if you want to see all the Predators play. So we can make that happen. But
yeah,
again,
can we just be the TV guide channel for an hour?
Yeah, there we go. We will list it off. It is it, Finland versus Sweden starts at 2 p.m. on USA Network. We can get all of that for you next week. It's crazy to think that the Olympics are a week away, but the Predators still some work to do with those four games coming up. Again, they are on the road for one more against the Islanders tomorrow night. That is a 6 o'clock puck drop, 5 o'clock pregame, and then back in Smashville for those two games against the Blues and the Wild next week. Anything specific to look forward to for those games in Smashville, Max, coming up on Monday and Wednesday?
Well, hopefully some good games to send you guys off with. Also, right, some giveaways too. Monday is the next run in our Smashville sports series. So we already had the football and basketball jerseys that have been very popular this year. And next up, it's hockey night, but it is USA. Excuse me, USA hockey night. So it's a Miracle on Ice style sweater with NSH on the front instead of USA and Smashville on the back for the first 5,000 fans Monday night. And then Wednesday night is Luke Bryan bobblehead night. So we got the Smashville wow. Sports Series and the Music City bobblehead series clocking back in this week as a reward for you guys for braving the tough winter week.
Yes, those will be must to get out there for. I was out there a couple weeks ago and got the Dierks Bentley bobblehead, and I have it displayed prominently in my apartment now. So
good.
Maybe I'll have to get out there for the Luke Bryan one. You said that's on Wednesday?
Wednesday night, Luke Bryan national anthem too. So
We'll be traveling to Kentucky on Wednesday night, so I will miss it. But I at least have Dierks sitting up proudly on my mantle. Max, thanks as always for joining us, and hope you're enjoying the East Coast. I know it is strange for both of us not to be in Nashville at this point, but I saw you got out there to a Celtics game earlier in the week, so hope you're enjoying the trip up there, and hopefully the Preds can get one more win coming back on Saturday.
Yeah, we miss everybody. We've had a lot of folks reach out that they're listening this week. So thanks for joining us. We really wish we could do more to help from afar. I feel pretty helpless thinking about everybody back home. And many members of our traveling group also are trying to figure out things from afar for their families. So
right.
We are with you guys in many regards. And look, as always, the Preds are doing everything they can to help and are doing as much as they can to raise money and help with food banks right now. But like once the call to mobilize and to help things in the community comes, once hopefully everything's a little melted and resettled, we know we'll be there. So we'll be back with you guys next week and we'll be helping out.
Right. Yes. And it's been the same here with lots of people on the Vandy staff have been trying to figure out things back home while we've been on the road. It's been strange, but thinking of everybody back there in Middle Tennessee, and hopefully the weather can get up above freezing here and start to melt some of that ice away. Max, enjoy Long Island, and hopefully the Preds can beat the Islanders tomorrow night. We will talk to you next week when we officially go into the Olympic break next Friday.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Parker.
Max Harris from Preds Radio joining us as he always does for the full first hour of the show. We've got much more to come here on Next Man Up. Robert Saleh was introduced as the Titans head coach yesterday. We will dive deep into what he had to say and how we feel about Robert Saleh and his coaching staff as we head towards a new era of Titans football. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, Next Man Up, 1025 The Game.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.